The Kind Voice Radio.
Welcome to A Kind Voice Radio. I'm your host, Jessica Grinspan, and today I'm really excited to speak to guests from the nonprofit organization Through the Eyes of Children, which teaches photography to vulnerable children and empowers them to share their stories and their kind voices throughout the world. I'll be talking to Joanne McKinney, project director, and Musa Uwatanze, one of the original camera kids who was given the gift of photography after being orphaned in Rwanda during the genocide. Now, Musa, Joanne, and a whole host of volunteers comprising many of the original members are extending the project's mission by reaching out to other vulnerable children across the globe. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Oh, yeah, of course. I want to go all the way back to the roots at some point, but first, Joanne, let's start with you. Could you just give me a brief overview and tell our listeners what Through the Eyes of Children does as an organization?
Sure. Through the Eyes of Children is an organization that was founded in 2000 by David Jeronic, who was an amateur photographer and actually a Broadway producer. And he traveled to Rwanda after the genocide, just trying to honestly find answers to the questions that I think everyone has after something as awful as the genocide happened. And while he was in Rwanda for the first time, he was captivated by children who were very interested in his cameras. At that time, there was an orphanage run by an American woman named Rosamund Carr, who had been in Rwanda for years and years at that point and had turned her farm into an orphanage following the genocide. David befriended her and asked if he could come back and teach photography to a group of children at the orphanage. The orphanage was called the Imbabazi Orphanage. And she thought, well, photography really isn't what my kids need right now, but she decided to ask the children if they were interested. And of course, 100 kids said, yes, they wanted to learn photography. So David came back that same year. She selected 19 children to participate in the project. And, you know, he came and spent a few weeks teaching photography using disposable cameras. And when he came back to the U.S., he realized that the photos were amazing and decided that, well, this might be a project that was worth sharing with the world. So he started preparing the photos for the exhibition. I joined to help him with website development and branding. And he had Jennifer Howard come in to help in public relations, and Kristen Ashburn, who was a professional photojournalist, to aid with the photographic curriculum and photo editing. And what happened was just really organic and amazing group of kids who created an amazing body of photography. And the project continued, and we went every year, every other year, to teach photography to the same group of 19 kids. In 2003, David unfortunately died in an accident, the founder of the project. So myself and Jennifer and Kristen continued on and worked with the same group of amazing kids. I've known Musa since he was 8 years old. Over the course of the next 15 years, these guys produced the largest body of photographic work, I would say, of Rwanda rebuilding after the genocide, taken through the perspective of the children who had been, you know, victimized by that genocide. And the body of work is amazing. And now those same kids are adults, and Musa and Gadi and Bizimana, three of the original camera kids, have now been trained to teach photography themselves. And they are starting this mission of sharing their gift of photography with other groups of vulnerable children. So this year we are traveling to Haiti to work with orphans there. We're going to be traveling to, hopefully, Lebanon to work with a group of Syrian refugees, and Ethiopia. And these guys just completed a photo workshop 2 weeks ago in Rwanda with a group of kids and comprising deaf children, street kids, and you know, a variety of kids in Rwanda. So that's a long-winded, I guess, answer to the question of the background of the project, but it's a bit of a long story.
That's great. Yeah, that's a great background, and it's such a cool project. I'm really glad to have you guys on the show, because Yeah, it's awesome. Like the ripple effect is so strong, and you're giving a voice to these vulnerable children and then the next generation of unfortunately vulnerable children, and allowing them to tell their story when they might otherwise not have the opportunity to do so. And I think when I talked to Jennifer before, she said it's like one of the, I forget the term that she used, but she said it's one of the longest running shoots. Some photography term with the original members, and that's amazing. Like I made a joke, like you don't even see a lot of rock bands, except maybe you two that have all the original members almost. you gave me a lot of great background. I want to kind of tell the story from the beginning and get some of the nuances. Just going back, so you talked a little bit about Rosamund Carr. She was living in Rwanda as an American woman. What was her story in a little bit more detail?
Sure. Musa, do you want to talk about Roz a little bit, Musa?
Yeah, Rose was one American woman who stayed in Rwanda more than 45 years. And she owned a Parisian building house, and then she turned into that house into an orphanage that cared more than 400. Yeah. So she stayed in Rwanda for so long, and then I was part of the kids that she welcomed at the orphanage, and I arrived at the orphanage in 1996 when I was 3 years old. I was so little.
Wow.
So I was welcomed with the other group of 18 kids from the other orphanage. I was actually from the refugee camp, and then shifted from one orphanage to another, and the last one was the Indabazi orphanage that I lived in and I grew up in.
Roz was an amazing woman. She was in her 80s at the time of the genocide, so had never been a mother and became the mother to hundreds of children. I think if you talk to any child who grew up the Indabazi orphanage, they have nothing but beautiful things to say about Roz. And the children who were raised there are really brothers and sisters. They're all super connected. I was just in Rwanda a couple of weeks ago and had the pleasure of seeing everyone again. And, you're now looking at kids who are married and have children of their own. And it's really amazing the beautiful lives that they have created, in large part to the love that they were shown by Roz, the education that they were given. Almost all of our camera kids went on to university as well. Education was always really important to Roz. And one of the things that we did with Through the Eyes of Children early on is any proceeds that came from people wanting to buy the photographs went back to the orphanage. So thousands of dollars from the photography of these children went back to the orphanage to pay for secondary school for the kids at the orphanage. So it was a really fantastic cycle where this group of 19 children were able to really help fund the education for all their brothers and sisters at the orphanage and create opportunities. So that was never the original mission, but because the photos were so good and because we got coverage, because we were being exhibited around the world, people wanted to own the photograph. So it turned into an opportunity to fundraise that wasn't part of the original plan. But I think with any of these type of projects, you just have to go forward with what's happening and what's working and let it kind of reveal itself in many ways in terms of the opportunities it creates.
Yeah, it's a beautiful story. What's the education system like in Rwanda?
Normally we start primary school, we have secondary and college. So primary school is 6 years, you study 6 years from P1 to P6, and then secondary you do another 6 years, then you go to university. So we're privileged enough to do all those things because of the photography.
Yeah, and I will say too, the secondary school program is boarding school for the most part. So once the kids reach secondary school age, not everyone went to secondary school, but those that did traveled to other parts of the country. And then there's a placement exam that's taken at the end of secondary school to qualify for university. And one of the things that we did is we told all the kids and all the camera kids that any of them who qualified for university, we would find a sponsor in the U.S. to pay. So actually we had individual sponsors that paid for the university of all of the camera kids who qualified to go.
Wow. Yeah, so I definitely want to get more into Musa's specific story, but Let's get a little more into David, the original founder. Yeah, could you talk about how he connected with Rosamund? She wasn't initially interested in the photography project, but then the kids kind of took to it.
I think just as the project has been, as I said, so organic, it was, again, an opportunity that presented itself when he was in Rwanda. This was, you know, not long after the genocide. As you can imagine, the country was not in a great place. A lot of fear. No one really wanted to be photographed. In fact, he had brought his own camera just to capture his journey and felt in general that he couldn't use it very much. But children were fascinated by his cameras and were excited to participate. And so the idea of actually coming back and teaching photography to a group of children just came from his own experience on his first trip. And I think he was able to enlist the help of Kristen Ashburn, who was a professional photojournalist who could assist in many ways in developing a photographic curriculum that would allow these kids to actually grow their knowledge. So over the course of 10 years, these guys transitioned from shooting with disposable cameras, which is what they did with David, to digital cameras, which changed the project in many ways because we were able to instantly show the photographs and they could learn photo editing specifically. Musa, maybe tell the story too of when the orphanage moved to Mutura, to a rural area, these guys were able to kind of integrate themselves into a new community as an orphanage by taking photos of people in the community and bringing them photos. Many people had never seen a photo of themselves. And I think that was an interesting part of it too. Musa, if you want to talk to that.
Yeah, as John mentioned, actually we when we returned, there was insecurity in Rwanda, like in the place where the orphanage used to be. So we had to shift to go to live in town. But when we came back, and we were like strangers. We were like Western people to the community. So the photography came in, and then it's like the gap that was between us and the community was voided. So we took our cameras, and then we went to the community, and then that's where we started like socializing and be able to know their lives, know that our lives, that there's no difference. We're all people. We're all human. So I think the photography part of it have connected us to the community.
Yeah, I love the connection between, connection in the community and connection through the story that you're telling and just the name of the organization, Through the Eyes of Children. Was that David's initial idea?
Yes, yes, very much. Originally, he named the project Through the Eyes of Children, the Rwanda Project. And in fact, our website was rwandaproject.org for many years. But now that the original Rwandan camera kids are creating new generations of camera kids across the globe, we're focused more on Through the Eyes of Children. And our website is camerakids.photos. And our Instagram is also camerakids, which allows you to kind of see the photos that are coming out of these workshops and connect people visually through their photography and culture.
Yeah. So why, in your words, either Joanne or Lisa, or both of you, why do you think photography is such a poignant medium for documenting these stories, humanity?
Personally, it is important because it has impacted my life in so many ways. As I said, when I was little, when I was 8 years old, when I first got a camera, it was like a toy in my head. It was like a toy in my hand. I was just moving around with it, not knowing how it would impact my life. It was just taking pictures for me. But then when I went out in the community and get to meet people, get to interact with people, get to know people, and as Joanne said, after the photography that I was doing impacted my education. I did the whole school, like I did from primary to university. That is a great impact. And importantly, made me think about other people's lives, not only my own lives. And people wouldn't know me if there were no photography. That's a great impact on me.
Yeah.
And that is why I want to share it to other people. Maybe it can help them too, because it has helped me. I'm a witness of how photography can help people, can impact the lives of so many people in the world. And that is our mission. That's why we're taking it in so many places all over the world.
Jessica, I think some interesting stories of the impact of photography. One of the things that I so clearly remember when the kids were young, every time we went to Rwanda, we would bring evidence of their photographs being viewed by people around the world. So showing them magazines where their photography was featured, or photographs from their massive exhibitions we did. We were exhibited at the United Nations for the 10th anniversary of the Rwandan genocide. We were exhibited at a major Human Rights Watch conference where the president of Rwanda, Paul Kagame, was actually given one of these kids' photographs at that event. So when they would see photographs of people literally lined up in exhibitions looking at their work, I think it completely made them realize that they mattered. They mattered in a way that perhaps they didn't know. And the fact that people were buying their photographs and money was coming back was an amazing, empowering, and validating experience for the kids. And I one other story, when the movie Hotel Rwanda came out, we exhibited in the lobby of the movie theater in California and New York for the premiere of the movie. And I stood up in front of the movie theater in New York City before the film started to just mention to people that out and that they were about to see the story, a very terrible story of something awful that happened, but that out in the lobby were photographs taken by young children who survived the genocide, who lost their families, but who were creating beautiful, hopeful images of a gorgeous country, and that when they left the movie, they should come out and see what Rwanda is today through the eyes of the kids who are most affected by what they just saw in the film. And I think, to me, that was such a powerful moment to have people exit that movie theater having seen the darkest and the worst things that humans can do to each other, and then see out in the lobby beautiful, sunshiny photography taken by those same children who were filled with hope and love. And, you know, the most gratifying thing I would say about this project, about Through the Eyes of Children, is seeing those children grow up into loving, nurturing, successful adults who are raising another generation of beautiful children. And, you know, that's the impact of photography, is that you matter, your story matters, share your story, someone cares, and just the cycle that comes from that, I think, is so compelling.
The attention that the world has given us in itself is really an impact to our lives. And as you will see, as you have maybe even read on the news, we want to do it and we keep doing it because it has had an impact on our lives, and we want it to have an impact on other people's lives.
Yeah, and your passion just definitely comes through, and it's so beautiful how you can take such a devastating situation and all of this suffering and channel it into a beautiful, hopeful experience, and then just keep spreading kindness in the world. That's our mission here at A Kind Voice. That's such a beautiful story. We do have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to hear some more. This is great. We'll be right back.
There's nothing wrong with reaching out when you need. I'll be there for you, and maybe you can be for me. With a kind voice, a few kind words, an open ear for when you need to be heard, a warm heart, we can make that choice to be a kind voice, a few kind words.
Hi, I'm Kathy King, founder and executive director of Canines with a Cause. And I use my kind voice to create awareness of the importance of companion animals in our world and their ability to heal a broken soul. Canines with a Cause rescues dogs from local animal shelters. The dogs are placed with incarcerated women where they live and train as comfort companions or service animals for veterans battling PTSD. We also provide free training classes for the veterans, which enables them to develop skills to train their own dogs and become experienced handlers. The dogs provide the veterans with many benefits: simple companionship, motivation to get out of bed in the morning, and unconditional, non-judgmental love. Learning to train a dog also helps the veterans out of their homes and get involved again in civilian life. It helps them develop emotional coping skills and resiliency. The dog and handler create a strong bond through working together, and the dog is trained for specific tasks to help the veteran lead a more productive, less stressful life. Canines with a Cause strives to make the world we all share a kinder, more connected place. We do this by healing through unconditional love. Separately, it's difficult for a dog in a shelter, an incarcerated woman, or a veteran suffering with post-traumatic stress disorder to share their kind voices. But by creating a channeling process to bring them together, they can be a kind voice to and for each other. If you would like to know more about Canines with a Cause, visit our website, caninswithacause.org. Thank you.
Kind Voice Radio.
Welcome back to A Kind Voice Radio. I'm your host, Jessica Grinspan, and I'm talking to Joanne McKinney, Project Director of Through the Eyes of Children, and Musa Uwatanse, one of the original camera kids. Welcome back to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Joanne and Musa were just talking about, some really great stories. They took an experience of suffering and channeled it into something hopeful and positive, and it's just amazing stories. So I want to get a little more into the beautiful imagery of, like, photography as such a poignant piece and a tool of hearing your stories. You kind of touched on this already, but, like, what skills and lessons that you learned from going through those photography workshops, how do they transfer into everyday life and becoming a more connected person in society?
With the classes, what we used to take, we spend like 10 years like having the annual workshops. But some of the most important classes that we had, there was asking your subject like permission to be taken a picture. Don't just shoot don't just go on the street. Ask permission. By asking permission, then you get to interact with your subject. That was important to me because I used to go like hide in a room and then take a picture through the window.
Uh-huh.
But then approaching the subject was a great way to connect with your subject.
Yeah. And how do you go about creating a rapport with your subject? Do you, like, what's one of the first questions you ask them to get them to maybe open up and show who they are?
I of course, have to explain what I'm doing. Like, if I'm on a project, I'm on an assignment, I'm like, I'm doing this project. Do you want to be involved in? And this picture will be used for, because they normally ask patients, why do you need my picture? So you have to explain why I need to take their picture. And then 100%, most of them say yes. And I find it that very useful to ask before, because nobody have said no.
Wow. Yeah. So that definitely, you're connecting with them on a personal level and making them feel comfortable. And then I guess it might be, have you ever had a situation where you asked permission and the subject said yes, and they were really, like, there was something about them sharing their story that made it a positive experience for them too?
Yeah, actually, before I go on a shoot, I do a research. I sit down and think about a story, and then I try to find who are the subjects of this story. And then I go meet them. I sometimes even make phone calls before I go to the field. So most of the time they're aware I'm coming. So that's why it's not that I'm just going without something in mind. I make calls, I do arrangements. So it's easy before I go on the shoot. So I do prior preparation.
Yeah. One of the things when the kids were small, at the start of the project, as I mentioned, you know, David, who had gone with his cameras, really had trouble doing any photography in Rwanda at that time. But the kids, because they were children, were really less threatening and had, I think, access to people that as adults now, they don't have the same access. I'm sure, Musa, it was a lot easier to approach a picture when you're 8 years old and take their picture than when you're 28 years old and they wonder what you're doing with the photo. You know, one of the pleasures of working with children with photography is that they have access to storytelling that I think adults don't in many ways. And this past year in 2018, Musa and Gadi and Bizimana, the three photographers who are leading the charge now, had intensive training in teaching and taught their first workshop. So for the first time, they took our role of being the teachers. And I think when you get into that situation where you're trying to instruct others, in terms of how to go out into your community, how to shoot your story and your life, what should you be looking to capture, how do you tell a story through photography. These guys spent a ton of time with their students, sharing their own work from childhood to adulthood, explaining how they approached it. Opening people's minds to photography beyond just picking up your phone and taking whatever picture it reveals itself, you know, really thinking about composition and lighting and storytelling. So I think the process is very thoughtful and cerebral in many ways and also very spontaneous. But I do think children have interesting access and perspectives that are different than adults.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
When I was young, it was people thought we have toys. It was a year when in Rwanda really digital things like cameras were not like people didn't know about cameras so much like today. So they were like these young kids that are on the street that are just enjoying with their cameras. So they wouldn't ask any question, which is different like from today. Today is totally different.
Yeah, well, do you remember what the first picture you ever took was?
Oh, I was waiting for that question. Actually, when we moved from the countryside, when I told you about the 1998 insecurity in Rwanda, we moved to town. We moved to the, 30 minutes from where we lived before. We lived by the lake. So, you know, young kids with that teenage, I was like 15 something. I mean, I don't know, I was 8, 9. We used to go to by the lake to just go swim. It was our daily routine, going there and coming back. So when I first got my camera, I ran to my spot, like at the beach. So I went there, I found like kids sitting on a rail. That was my first picture.
Wow.
And a beautiful photo that I think is hanging on the walls of people's homes all around the world. A really amazing photo.
Yeah.
The first roll of the film. Yes.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful story. What would you say are the most important elements in making a good picture, a photo that tells a real story?
I think for me as a photographer now, it keeps changing. Sometimes, in 10 years before, I used to think differently. But now a good picture is a picture that tells a story.
Yeah.
Any story, like a picture that has all the ingredients of a story, like whatever is in the picture that tells a story. Because like I say, I plan my shoot. I do it like if I'm shooting for 10 days, then I do other 10 days preparations. So whatever I share, I take is part of the story. So the picture that tells a story is a great picture.
Yeah. Yeah, they always say like a picture, a picture is worth 1,000 words. But maybe even more. And I guess it's kind of what's interesting about photography. I'm not a photographer myself, or certainly not an experienced photographer. But you can. It's kind of cool how you can look at a photograph with your eyes, but you can kind of grasp the multi-sensory experience too. Sometimes a photograph is so good at telling a story that you can kind of tell like what the sound might be and what it would feel like the textures in the photo. There's a lot about texture and color. It's just, it can be very gripping and compelling.
Yeah. One of the advantages and the onset of our project is that Rwanda is one of the most beautiful places you could ever see. It is a beautiful country. The landscape is amazing. The people are beautiful. So the photographs themselves are so compelling and interesting because the subject matter is that way too. And I think what we're finding as we expand the project and these guys are traveling to other places, there's so much beauty to capture and so many stories to tell. And I think we're really excited to see the camera kids of the future and their ability to see the photos that are taken by other kids around the world. So we did a workshop this summer with a group of Haitian immigrant teenage girls living in New Jersey and a group of foster kids up in Boston, and then just now in Rwanda again, the ability for those kids to look on Instagram and see the same stories but being told from other cultures and other groups of people, I think is really interesting as well.
Yeah, it seems like it's a way to foster, like to see your similarities but also differences and how people grow over time. Musa, how have your photographs maybe evolved over time from the beginnings to what you take pictures of now?
Yeah, the pictures that I took when I was young are the stories are different, but as a photo documentary photographer, the story I'm trying to tell is kind of the same, although it's taken in a different perspective. But the story is the same. Like I'm documenting the lives of the people of Rwanda and the people of the whole world in a different perspective.
Yeah.
The same style and I'm using the same style to take photos.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I want to get some information about how you're passing along the gift of storytelling to the next generation of camera kids and the education programs. We have to take another quick break, but when we come back, there's a lot more to talk about. So we'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. This is Brianna Rodriguez, and I'm here to deliver your good news report for the week. Positive news stories happening within your community in hopes of making your day a little brighter. This week, we'll be highlighting the actions of Paul Goetius, a person who lends his wheels for a good cause. Once working as an environmental toxicologist, the 76-year-old retiree now dedicates his free time to ensuring low-income university students have a means of getting to class. For the past 8 years, Paul has offered free rides to students, accumulating a whopping 64,000 miles full of laughs and memorable conversation. He began volunteering his car and service through the nonprofit organization On Point for College that is dedicated to helping struggling young individuals receive a college education. In addition to fulfilling the duties required of him as a program volunteer, Paul also makes an effort to accommodate to the needs of the students as best as he can. He offers a helping hand in whatever way he can, whether it be registration, housing needs, or access to a warm meal. The kindness of Paul's actions has made all the difference in the lives of countless students that he's helped. For many of them, a reliable means of transportation is not accessible, which has made Paul's role in their lives crucial to the completion of their education. More than that, Paul benefits from this as well. He has loved the opportunity to form connections with the people he serviced throughout the years, making the story truly filled with a wonderful ending for everyone. I hope this story has inspired you to go out and use your kind voice to influence and help others. And I am Brianna Rodriguez, and that has been your Good News Story of the Week.
Kind Voice Radio.
Welcome back to A Kind Voice Radio. I'm your host, Jessica Grinspan, and I've been talking to Joanne McKinney and Musa Uwatanze of Through the Eyes of Children. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to talk about the workshops that you're now running and teaching for the next generation of camera kids. Yeah. So what's that like? How do you take the lessons and the skills that you learned, especially in capturing humanity and the beauty, and pass that along?
Yes, we had 3 days of training to teach in the U.S. and now we are now giving out. We've had so far 2 workshops, and the third one is in Rwanda. We had it last week. It's really moving. The kids are very excited about the workshops, and we're talking about the same thing we learned when we were at the same age. Because most of the kids are young, although there are some adult people in the classes, but most of them are young people. So we are starting from scratch of how we started this and how we went about all the step by step. And they're very excited about what we're doing, and they're moved by what we're teaching. Actually, we're doing like a 3-day workshops, and whenever we end the project, they're like, "Can we do it again?" So that means they're really happy of what we're doing, and they're already impacted by what we're talking about.
We've seen the kids cry when they see the workshop is over, and they're so connected to these guys. And you have to imagine that you're hearing the story of three adults who grew up in really, you know, trying circumstances, who are there teaching photography. And their story alone is so inspirational, let alone the fact that they're creating a lot of fun for the kids by doing the photo workshop. So it's a really amazing combination. And right now we are in a fundraising mode. We have a Kickstarter that actually ends tomorrow, where we're raising funds to send these guys all around the world. Basically, every $10,000 we raise sends them to another country, to another group of vulnerable kids. And at the same time, we're working on a documentary film. So this story that we are creating right now is being filmed by a fantastic documentary filmmaker, Beth Murphy of Ground Truth Films in Boston. And so there's a lot of really fun stuff going on, both in the workshops themselves and the film of the life story of these amazing young men.
Yeah. So for all of our listeners, you can get involved with the Kickstarter campaign. There's a link to it in the show description. Do you want to talk a little bit more about how people can get involved through Kickstarter?
Sure. So our Kickstarter is live for just 24 more hours. So if you go to Kickstarter and you just search Camera Kids, you can find our Kickstarter and support it. When you make a donation through Kickstarter, you have the ability to receive one of the photographs from the Camera Kids or a photo book, depending on the amount that you you donate. Additionally, on our website, camerakids.photos, there's the opportunity to donate on an ongoing basis through GiveLively, which is our fundraising platform, which is great. And we'll be doing actually an additional Kickstarter in 2019 in support of the documentary film and fundraising for that. So there'll be more ways to donate and get involved over the coming 6 to 9 months.
Perfect. Yeah, and I can see that you've had a lot of success so far in meeting your goals. But how can people get involved if they want to help out even beyond financially? Because this is really cool thing for people to get connected to.
Sure. Well, as these guys expand their mission, we're always looking for people who can connect us to groups or organizations that work with children where we could potentially get involved. Right now, we have two partners. We're working with Worldwide Orphans, which is a fantastic organization, and with the Home for Little Wanderers in Boston. So we're always looking for partner organizations. Certainly, there's always room for volunteers as it relates to logistics and support for the project. So people can reach out on the website. There's ability to contact us there.
Perfect. And what is the, I saw the Home for Little Wanderers. What is that exactly, that organization?
It's an organization, a very historical organization in Boston, that currently their mission is tied to dealing with foster children, the foster care crisis.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Musa, you're part of a group who you've already come to the U.S. to do a couple workshops for the foster children.
Yeah, we did two workshops, for the one for Haitian girls in New Orange and one in Boston for Home for Little Wanderers.
Oh, okay. Have you seen any examples of, you know, teaching the children, connecting with those children who are also vulnerable and going through some suffering, and seeing the skills that you're teaching transform into a compassion for others that they're already at a young age passing on to the people around them?
Actually, the way we do this, that's why we in introduction, we first talk about our story, like how we started it, how we studied photography, how we got, how photography impacted our lives. That is the first thing that make them move and be more excited about what we're going to tell them. Even they swallow everything we tell them after we've told them about our story, because they feel we are the same people. They feel we share the same story. That's why they learn. That's why they're inspired. They're like, we want to study. We want to take this lesson because it's a part of your lives. We are sad that you went through these problems. So by introducing ourselves, by telling them our stories, they're already in it. They just get into it and they start crying and start the class. They're moved by our stories, and that makes them feeling and swallow everything we tell them.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, they're impressionable at that age too, and they can definitely soak up all of that learning and that kindness that you're extending to them and letting them extend to others.
Yeah, I think also just the fun in the moment of being together and having these activities. When these guys travel, they'll be doing, you know, 3 or 5 full days with this group of children, showing just general enthusiasm for them and their lives and the fun that they can have together. So that alone, I think, is a really powerful part of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I always watch what is going on the Kickstarter. Whenever there's $20 or $10, my heart feels very well, because I know there's another child in the world who's going to be to benefit from the photography. Whatever is added on the Kickstarter, be $20, be $50, then I know there's another chance of one child, probably in Lebanon, probably in Asia, probably in another part of the world, who's going to benefit from our teaching.
Yeah, so what goals do you have going forward? Any other populations that you're planning to work with?
I think this year, because we fundraised for 3 workshops, we're focused on those 3 locations, but we are certainly hoping to continue this on over time and have the chance to every year do 3 or 4. Ultimately, Musa and Gadi and Bizimana would also love to be opening up a center in Kigali in Rwanda, a center for photography, and as a home base for the organization. So there's lots of dreams. And I think the making of the documentary film will also give the project greater exposure, which could help fund those dreams in many ways. So, you know, we're on the path. We'll see where it takes us. We're excited to see what comes next. And, you know, for me personally, I've always been focused on, if you can make an impact on even just a handful of people, that's enough. You know, the fact that these guys, in their individual time and relationships that they have with the kids they interact with, if that's all the good that they do, that's enough. Certainly if we can scale it and grow, that's amazing. But every moment that they spend in the company of a child who is given an opportunity to share their story, I think is really enough and very powerful.
Yeah, I agree. There's definitely something to be said for cherishing the present moment and just, you know, recognizing that success, because you're making a huge impact in such meaningful ways. We have to take one more break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the documentary and, again, stress how people can get involved. So we'll be right back.
The alchemy of kindness is one that we believe. When we reach out to each other, you know we both receive.
Hi, I'm Bruce Grammel, one of the original hosts on A Kind Voice Radio. My song, The Alchemy of Kindness, is about the good things that happen when kind voices come together. What you're about to hear is a message from Claire Bloom, who is using her kind voice to feed hungry children. We hope that you'll help Claire with her mission and make our world a kinder, more connected place, one act at a time.
Hi, I'm Claire Bloom. In 2011, I started End 68 Hours of Hunger in an effort to overcome childhood hunger right here in America. There are more than 16 million children in America who are hungry. Between the free lunch they get in school on Friday and the free breakfast they get in school on Monday. And what we know is that if we feed these children on the weekend, they can achieve 50% higher reading scores, 30% higher math scores, and are twice as likely to successfully complete the third grade, which is a primary indicator of high school graduation. To find out more, I'd love for you to be in contact with me. We have a website at www.end68hoursofhunger.org, or you can email me directly at end68hoursofhunger@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks.
A Kind Voice Radio.
Welcome back to A Kind Voice Radio. I'm your host, Jessica Grinspan, and today I'm talking to Joanne McKinney, Project Director of Through the Eyes of Children, and Musa Uwitanze, one of the original camera kids from Rwanda. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we were talking about the documentary that's being created about this project through Ground Truth Films, I think you said. Could you provide some more details about that?
Well, I will say that in general, we've been really fortunate that Kristen Ashburn, who leads the project photographically, has done an amazing job over the years of connecting and introducing our group of camera kids in Rwanda with other professionals in the photography space. And through those connections have always brought more and new connections. And Musa, the actual connection to Beth, where was the first introduction made to Ground Truth?
Actually, we met Gary Knight,
yeah.
who was kind of, he was in Rwanda. He came for a Millennium Village photography project. Then we met him, we asked him to meet him, and then we introduced the project to him, and then he introduced us to Beth Murphy.
Right. So, and Ground Truth is basically, I would say, sits in between journalism and documentary filmmaking, and they love to, they're really focused on telling stories that are social, political, and human rights issues. And Beth Murphy is an award-winning documentary filmmaker. She's amazing, amazingly committed to the project. She's really developed very deep relationships with these, with Gadi Musa and Bizimana. So we're really excited for all that she's brought to the table. And our people can see a bit of the trailer from the film is on the website and also on the Kickstarter campaign page, so you get a sense of what's to come as we continue to film and create the full story from start to finish.
Yeah, and I actually, I saw some of the video, and actually the music too was really, really was really moving. How do other art forms kind of tie in with the photography to just create this moving emotional experience?
I think music has always been a big part of the project, and it's really interesting. Music was something, and singing was something we always did in all of our trips to Rwanda. And when Gadi, Musa, and Bizimana were putting together their curriculum as teachers, they really wanted to incorporate music. Gadi, Musa, do you want to speak a little bit about the musical exchange we had in your first, the first workshop you taught in Orange, New Jersey with a group of Haitian teenage girls, where here you have these three young men trying to make a connection with a group of teenage girls. And I think music was ultimately the point that did it. Musa, you want to tell that story?
Wow.
Yeah, actually, we normally use drums and guitars, and we play our song, and we teach them our song, and they teach us their song. So we're kind of sharing our cultures, and that makes them feel in the project. They feel more socialized because they're, you know, teenage girls and teenage boys, they're like, it's kind of intimidating, like being together. But music made us be more more together, because that's what we use to make sure everyone feel comfortable with each other. Then yeah, we used drums and guitars, and they were all happy. It was a very good song,
yeah,
a Kinyarwanda song, and they taught us their song.
They taught these guys a song from Haiti, and these guys taught them a song from Rwanda. And I think it was really one of the most, it was really a fun moment. But I think it was really the starting point for them really trusting these guys and really excited to work with them when they were able to sort of share culturally in that way. And I think that's going to be a part of every photo workshop these guys do wherever they go. Music, singing is a part of everyone's culture and a part of everyone's life and a great experience.
And you remember,
yes,
Joe,
actually,
David
yes.
also and Zach would play guitar and drums
yes,
every time.
All the time.
Before you started the workshop. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there's even an original song that was written by and for the camera kids when they were very young by David. So it's just always been a real part of how we connect.
Yeah. And that kind of leads into my next question, because I was going to ask about cross-cultural differences. So your project has such a huge global impact. And what have you noticed that's different across cultures as you teach the photography workshops and bring this gift to the Haitians and the kids in Rwanda and then in Boston?
I think in general, obviously, we're going to be working with groups of children in very different cultures than any of us were raised in. And part of connecting with people is finding those points of connection so that you can share your lives. And I think, again, music was a real big part of that. The other thing is photography is something that's known in pretty much every culture. And now with so many people having smartphones, even, you know, people in who living in third world countries, there's still a lot of phone-based photography happening. So I think photography is something that people are familiar with. So it's a good leaping off point, again, to have a dialogue.
Yeah, before we go to a workshop, we learn about the place we're going to, like if it is in Haiti, if it's in America, we learn about their culture, so we don't probably invade their privacy. We learn about them before we get there, so to make sure we are comfortable with them,
yeah.
One of the things that everyone is comfortable with is music and drumming and music and guitars.
These guys also did some training in cultural sensitivity. They did some training in trauma and trauma-induced care.
Oh,
not
wow.
Because they're in, not because they're in there to be working with kids on that level, but just so they could be sensitive to situations. I will say, when the kids were young, when these group of kids were young and we were working with Rwanda, we really didn't feel like our role was there to probe or talk to them about their trauma specifically. We were there to create fun and to create memories. And this is the same, I think, lighthearted approach that Gadi, Musa, and Bizimana are taking. There's a great empathy and compassion, but we're not there to delve in or to anyone's individual history, more there to create new memories together moving forward.
Right. Yeah, you're creating joyful moments, and the music really helps with that. And all of it creates connection. In your personal lives, like Musa and Joanne, both of you, what are your favorite things now to take pictures of?
Yeah, my favorite thing is picture of people working.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why it's my favorite is because of the history that my country went through. Normally when I'm shooting people, I like shooting people, improving their lives, like thinking about their families, their future, because our country have taken more time to think about killing, and we have lost so many. Yeah, we have lost 25 years. Like, that's about huge. About people were like in the past, but when I photograph people working, improving their lives, then I'm seeing change. Then I'm seeing a country developing. So I enjoy photographing people working.
Yeah.
And my focus has always been just, I love photographing my family and the people that I love. And Musa himself has two daughters now, and I know he captures them a lot in photography. There's always that intimate connection and the preservation of time that happens when you kind of document your own day-to-day life in many ways and the people around you.
Yeah, that's amazing. So what has been the most inspiring part of this entire process?
I would say just for me in general, the fact that these small 8-year-old children that we knew from so many years ago, that when you put time and energy and you come back and work with people consistently, the opportunities that they created for themselves with the kind of gift that they were given through photography, it's just so inspiring to see how our camera kids have grown up and are having amazing lives and taking what was given them to the next generation. You know, what more could you want than to see people pay forward the energy you put into them in so many ways? And that, to me, is just the ultimate gift. And the thing I always say to people is, you can help one person, just do it consistently, you know, stay in someone's life.
Yeah.
And because that's what matters. It's commitment. It's coming back. It's love. And seeing these guys create that same opportunity for other people is just, you know, thrilling.
Yeah, what is inspiring to me, I would feel so sad if, with the love that I was given by Rosamund Carr, the founder of the orphanage, David Jeranek, mm-hmm. and the teachers of photography that I've received in my life, I would feel so sad if I didn't give back to some people. So the fact that I'm giving back to other people, that makes me feel so good. The giving back is what it's all about, this project. We're giving back to all, what we've got. We've got love, we've got photography, we've got skills, we've got education. Now it's time to give back. And I'm happy that we've been supported, we've been give back.
I love that so much.
This is like the core mission of this project. We're giving back and we're helping people create the impact. Let's sort of create the impact in their lives. And that was that is Robert's legacy. That is David's legacy.
Yeah. Well, I love that you've had so much success with this so far, and that you continue to give back. And it's inspiring, you know, just listening to you guys talk is inspiring for me to go out and help somebody today. And, you know, I try to do that consistently as well. But this is, you know, you have a global impact, and it just keeps on giving. And I feel really blessed to be able to talk to you today. So thank you so much for taking the time to come on here and share your beautiful story.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And that was Through the Eyes of Children with Joanne McKinney and Usa Wumbase. And, yeah, take that for a reason to go out and do something kind for someone else today. And we will see you next time.
Well, hello, fellow soldier. How's your day? Come take my arm. Let's walk and sink away. Want to know your thoughts now, yes it's true. And that blue bird, he flew by now just for you. You step outside, you don't know who you'll meet. Feel the bitter patter of the street. Join the crowd and sing in harmony. Let go, come link elbows with me. Just know that I am there for you. To hear your voice, care to lend a hand. In this moment, we will work together and turn a new kind stranger to a friend. Walk down that lonely road alone, searching for a place to call home. The path is long, we cannot see the end, but the journey's so much better with a friend. Come to my house and rest those weary bones. Drink and laugh, we'll both refill our souls. That cup of cheer you're drinking sure tastes sweet. I'm glad that your acquaintance I did meet. Ooh, and you know that I am there for you. To hear your voice, care to lend a hand. Moment we were together to turn a new kind stranger to a friend. Oh, and you know that I am there for you. To hear your voice, to get to lend a hand.
in your Players Club card from any local casino to 7th Street Casino and join the Lucky 7 Club and win up to $250 in free slot play based on the status of your casino club card. Once you're a member, you can play and earn additional chances to win up to $250 in free slot play.
What's in store for your business this week at Staples?
Doing business like a CEO while saving like a CFO.
Staples has all the supplies you need to run your business like a boss at prices that'll make your bookkeeper smile.
Now that is an achievement.
Everything from paper to pens.
And right now, a 12-pack of Bic Roundstick ballpoint pens is just 99 cents. And a 5-pack of Sharpie Accent highlighters is only $1.99.
At Staples, where there's a whole lot in store. Ends 1/26/19 in store only. Assorted colors. Limit 5.